call us when you get to the pass and let us know if there's any snow, because we want to know when we should put the apple pie in the oven. So give us a call. We're so excited you're coming. And you know what? We just remodeled the guest bathroom. You're the first to use it. I always hated our guest bathroom, but now it's nice. Let us know. We'll be waiting for you. You're getting in after 1 a.m. Okay, we're going to go to bed. You guys, the door will be unlocked. Lock it when you come in. And your light will be on in your room, so just make yourselves at home. Go to sleep. We'll leave at 7:45 a.m. in the morning for church. I've got breakfast food in the kitchen for you. We'll see you at church. It's going to be great to catch up. Okay, the key is under the chair on the front porch. We're both going to be at a meeting, so let yourself in. Put your stuff in the guest room, and I left a job for you to do for dinner. So it's in the kitchen, if you could just do that task. And then did I tell you we're having a missionary come tonight, too, for dinner? So it'll really be fun. We'll catch up. So those three little bits of conversation, I hope you heard them because I didn't have this, are all actual conversations that happened in the last 30 days with Bill and I, as we got to stay with three different couples that are all good friends that we have known for between 20 and 30 years. And as I've been thinking so much about hospitality, talking to everyone I know about it and getting all this input, the Lord just kind of reminded me, hey, you know what? You have just been the recipient of amazing hospitality in the last 30 days yourselves. And so I'm going to refer back to those three people that we stayed with in the last 30 days. Really, really close friends, but we never see them. Obviously, God is our primary example of radical hospitality in that he sent us Jesus. And a lot of this is going to be very obvious. You guys know a lot of these things, but I'm just here to remind us of some things that we already know. He often showed hospitality with food. You know the story of him feeding the 5,000. You know the story of him changing at his friend's wedding, the water into wine. And we don't often think of those stories as hospitality, but they were. They were pretty radical hospitality that Jesus showed when he walked on the earth. So I'm going to define it. I think I'm going to stand up. This is too hard. I'm going to define it as the friendly, warm, and generous reception and treatment of family, guests, or strangers. So the friendly, warm, and generous reception and treatment of family, guests, or strangers. And hospitality, interestingly, is related to the word hospital. When we think of hospital, we see the interesting connection between welcoming other broken, needy people like ourselves to a place where they are shown generous and warm service, much as a hospital helps bind up broken people. Years ago, many years ago now, Bill and I had the privilege of being in Calcutta, India, and visiting Mother Teresa's home for the destitute and dying. It was a life-changing experience, and I think it was, I think, of just a pure example of hospitality. And many of you probably know, she would go out with her nuns at night and pick up people out of the gutter that were dying, that would never be known or seen, and they would bring them in, wash them up, put clean clothes on them, and give them a dignified place to die. And you could go there and help with that process. Is that okay, what that's doing? And all the nuns would do would be sit, they would be on a little pallet on the floor, and these people had no skin on their bones. It's like the pictures you see in the Holocaust. Big eyes just coming out of their sockets and no skin on their bones, but they would still take their hands and their arms and rub lotion on their bodies just to give them that feeling of touch, and they would allow us to do that as well. And it was just a beautiful, really pure example of hospitality to somebody at their dying moment, because these people were within hours of dying. At its core, really, hospitality is loving God and thereby loving people. And when we do this, we fulfill the greatest commandment, which is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind and all thy strength. And that's the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, that we would love our neighbor as ourself. So that first, the friend who said, I have the apple pie in the oven, her and I were talking during that visit, and she said, you know, I have come to discover that God has really great ideas. The more, because her and I were saying we love our own ideas, and we really do, because we're idea people, and we always are getting these great ideas, but God's ideas are way better. And we were talking about looking back over our lives and thinking of the ideas he'd had for us that were better than any we'd ever had. And that made me think, you know, his idea is hospitality. And it's a really, really good idea. And if we take that all the way to the end, the treasures that we're going to find in that are just unfathomable. So tonight, because I have a hard time remembering, I'll have a hard time remembering that I even gave this talk next year. So I thought, how am I going to help myself and us remember what we're even going to say tonight about hospitality? So I have 5 words that all begin with P to help spur our thoughts, because I feel like we're just going to have a big conversation. We're going to talk more with each other at the table, and I'm just going to try to spur our thoughts about it a little bit. So the 5 words are practice, pleasant, particular people, periodic, and prepare. So the first word is practice. Romans 12, 9-13 says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. This is a command for all of us who are followers of Christ, as Kathy was saying, to practice hospitality. So a couple of thoughts, of course, are it may not seem natural to us, and maybe we didn't grow up seeing that done in our homes. Maybe we don't feel comfortable in our cooking ability to bring anybody in. Maybe we feel hesitant and shy to have anybody see us in our private domains. But I think it's telling that the command says to practice. So you have to start somewhere, and you just have to start somewhere and practice. So when Bill and I were married in 1980, I wanted to practice it. I hadn't had a home of my own. I hadn't had a lot of people in yet, and I was game to try it. However, I grew up with a mom who I would say, looking back, you don't know it at the time, that your mom is pretty much a perfectionist, but she was, you know, perfect and clean and everything great, just beautiful mother, and did everything really well. And my dad was a pastor, so we grew up with that whole thing of having people into your home, having the roast in the oven, having the table set with china, having salad plates with lettuce on them, with the jello, and who would come home? Someone would usually come home, and you would sit at the table for hours and listen to the adults, and then you didn't leave till dessert was served, and then you could leave. But you usually didn't want to because it was so interesting, you know, hearing what they were talking about. So I thought, now it's my turn, I have to do that. And of course, when you start out, probably many of you might relate, your identity really feels wrapped up in that, everything. Later, you're good, you get a box pizza, you get a salad, it's fine. But you start out pretty, it's got to be good. And so we had a situation where we went overseas for 6 months, that Calcutta trip, and we needed to store all our earthly possessions, and we didn't have anywhere to put them. So this wonderful couple in our church said, you can store everything at our house, which was amazing hospitality. So when we got home, I thought, we have to have them over for dinner because they stored all our stuff. So I made that recipe that everyone's made called chicken lickin', where you put the rice raw, the chicken raw, and the Lipton's onion soup in the pan. Have you done that one?
No.
Oh, come on. That's how old I am. Okay, you put that all in the pan, and voila, when it comes out of the oven, it's the most amazing thing. So I thought, that's the foolproof. I'm going to make that. So I take it out. They're here. I mean, they are like high-end. Like, they had a house that could store in just one room somewhere all our stuff, like a mansion. They're in our little apartment on Capitol Hill. I take this out of the oven, and right away I'm like, what didn't work? The chicken, there was hardly any meat on the bones because I didn't know there was stewing chickens and regular chickens. And I had got stewing chicken. And that is no meat on the bone to begin with. So when you cook it forever and take it out, there's no meat on the bone, hardly. So I had to serve that to them. They were so gracious. I think I had a good dessert, so that helped. But obviously I was practicing, and I was not that good at it yet. So what does it look like if we disobey and we don't practice hospitality? I think it looks like probably a breakdown in the family, because we're going to talk about you have to practice it with your family. Probably a breakdown in people here, like, that worship together, because nobody has anybody over. We don't really get to know each other. And also, as we're to be witnesses in the world, probably a breakdown in you're not witnessing. I mean, you're not relating to the culture, so that's not happening. And the connections that the Spirit is trying to make, I think, with us all the time, our heads have to be up, our eyes have to be open, and we have to be loving people and bringing them into our homes. Or guess what? It's just ideas. It's just a bunch of ideas, but it's not really actual hospitality. So the obvious is the Titus women are practicing hospitality. Look at this. We have flowers. We have food. We have a fire. We have warmth. We come in. We feel welcomed. We feel the generous, friendly warmth, and hopefully we're spurred on in our faith. Also, Covenant Presbyterian on March 17th is having supper groups, which is an amazing time to either be a host and practice or be a attender and practice, just going into people's homes and putting skin in the game and not staying isolated. So those are incredible. If you haven't done that, just jump off and get into one of those, because those really always turn out great. Shauna Nyquist, the author of Bread and Wine, which is a great book, says, entertaining or hospitality isn't a sport or a competition. It's an act of love. If you let it be, you can twist it and turn it into anything you want, a way to show off your house, a way to compete with your friends, a way to earn love and approval, or you can decide that every time you open your door, it's an act of love. Not performance or competition or striving. You can decide that every time people gather around your table, your goal is nourishment, not neurotic proving. You can decide. Our next P word, does anyone remember, is pleasant. 1 Peter 4:8-9 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sin. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And this, of course, is the heart of hospitality. Not just practicing it, but doing it without grumbling. Because, of course, we can pull off outer cheerfulness, but we all know in our heart if we're grumbling. And the only way that works, really, is the Spirit working while we work, helping us to do it out of love. And we all know that there's a huge difference in the outer cheerful and the inner heart of love. Well, one person I want to highlight, and she's sitting in this room in the pink in the middle, is my mother-in-law, Martha Larson, who is amazing, and I owe a lot to watching her for 40 years. She is the most pleasant, gracious, hospitable person, one of the most that I know. And I want to tell you about a fun thing that has inspired me for years when I learned that she did it. Years ago, she had a breakfast group in her home. So all her friends that were still working, and she wasn't at the time, she thought, I will have them for breakfast. And she would make these amazing breakfasts just because she had fun cooking, not because she had to. And they would show up at about 7, and she would have it ready. She'd have her French toast or her cinnamon rolls or whatever she was making. Can you imagine if you were one of her friends, maybe 10 of them, come in her house, it's all laid out, the coffee, everything. They sit down, they start gabbing, they have breakfast, they pray, they share their deepest needs. They leave and go to work, and there she is. And she's the happiest one of all because she's still home. But I loved that because I thought, that's so creative. She did that at a time of day that was good for her, in a time of life that was good for her, and the fruit of that is huge in those women's lives still. And I was so inspired and have done things kind of based on watching her. Another quick story is I was younger, back being younger, I wanted an older woman to mentor me. I didn't know who she was or where she was. I was praying for her. I was working. I didn't have kids. I hadn't been married that long. I was like a daily prayer, Lord, bring that woman into my life. I was at a bus stop on my way to work in Seattle, and there was this woman with a big bouquet of daffodils or tulips, and I looked at her and thought, I think I know her. I think she's a friend of our family's. And I asked her, are you Marie Hollowell? She said, yes. And I said, oh my word, I'm Charlene Tim Now Larson, and you know my grandma, and you know my mom and dad, and da-da-da-da. And through that conversation, she became my mentor, and I went to her. She was the head of a sorority in the University of Washington, like the, you know, the house mother person. And I would go there once a week early on my way to work, and she would mentor me. But all it was her feeding me and us talking, and she was so godly, and whatever came out of her mouth, I was just, you know, taking it all in, and it was a friendship, first and foremost. And that was a pleasant, very pleasant person that offered me at a time when a direct answer to prayer needed it, needed hospitality shown. Okay, our third P is particular people. So the word teaches us to show hospitality to our husbands and our children and the household of believers and strangers. Okay, so here at Titus, we've talked a lot about loving our husbands last week. Wonderful. And our children well, and that is so significant and at the heart, and we never should overlook that for any other, you know, reason. And if we fail in being pleasant and cheerful in our family with our hospitality, that's really missing a lot, because we don't want to just give that, obviously, to other people. We want to give that to our family first. Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So that's the household of believers part. But Hebrews 13:1 and 2 talks about another group of particular people, strangers. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. That verse always is just very interesting to me. So it obviously doesn't say that all strangers are angels. However, it does say to entertain them, and they could be angels. I've decided if Kurt Krieger comes to my house, I know he's an angel. I'm sure he is. But in the Bible time period, obviously, strangers, I think it was more like caravans are coming through and Christians are supposed to bring in, you know, and house and feed and all that. So that's, we don't have caravans coming through our neighborhood. But does that mean we're off the hook? I don't think so. So the family who said, the key is under the pillow, you have a task for dinner. That was these longtime college friends that have so inspired us our whole lives. They are amazing, and they have a humble home. They don't have the mansion, but their hearts for hospitality and for the kingdom are so amazing. And their kids are all gone. Four kids. He's a psychologist. She's works with special needs kids in school and public school. And they have nicknamed their home now the Hub. And he goes overseas four times a year and gives counseling to missionaries coming off the field who have a lot of problems when they've been out there a long time, and they offer counseling. He does it with a lot of other people. Anyway, they made a brochure for their home. We're the Hub. Here's where we live. Come stay with us. Use our car. Eat our food. Stay in our beds. Come. And people take you up on that. And that night was a missionary from Spain, a young woman who had been on the field 9 years. She needed a rest. She was really tired. She was coming for 2 weeks. That was night one. And they literally are beautiful in their beautiful people in the way that they do it. They seriously say, don't ask us eat anything. You want our car? We'll just, you've got it. I mean, really, really amazing people. So that's one way to help offer it to strangers. We have this thing now in our home called an Airbnb, and it's a cabin on our property, and we've been doing it for 1 year, and people from, seriously, surprisingly, all over the world come. And they're all strangers to us. They're not in our home, but they do sometimes come in, and there's a lot of connections you make with them, and we're still figuring that one out. How can we, as believers, use this even more than praying for them? Or, yeah, there's clues in there about our faith, and that comes up, and we've had Christians, but a lot of them aren't Christians, so that's we're working on that. How can we make even more out of that? And my last little thing on strangers. So this just happened on Sunday. I went to Trader Joe's. I was in there. I had a lot of food in my car because we've been gone. The checkout guy had this really long name that I couldn't pronounce, and I don't always talk to them. Sometimes I'm doing, you know. But I said, how do you pronounce your name? And he told me, and he was a black man, and he was from, you know, obviously Africa, and he had an accent. And I said, where are you from? He said, Cameroon. I said, oh, my daughter went to Cameroon a few years ago. She did? What part? And he was, like, insistent. I said, I don't know. I'll call her. Never done that. Pick up the phone. Because I had just talked to her. So I said, Jane, where were you in Cameroon? I'm talking to the checkout man at Trader Joe's. And she's like, mother. He wants to know where you were in Cameroon. And she's racking her brain. And she says the name of it. And he goes, that's my town. And then I hung up from her, and we talked more, and like, he's here, and he's trying to go back to school, and he has a family, and he doesn't, you know, this whole thing. And seriously, I had a connection with him, and I kind of didn't want to leave because we were talking. And when I got out in the car, and later thinking about this, I thought, he was a stranger. The Lord put him there. I should have said, why don't you guys, does your family want to come to, you know, I should have done that, but I didn't. So I might go back and do that. But that's just like being, I think we need to be like aware if the Lord does something, don't overlook it. Like, just go ahead and go for it. That's something with strangers. We have to figure that one out. I'm anxious to hear what you guys might talk about that and see. Okay, the fourth one is periodic. I think anything that we do regularly and periodically has a lot of power to shape us and the people involved. So we need to practice hospitality pleasantly with particular people periodically. What does that even look like? The couple who said, we'll see you at church, there, he's a pastor. He was our pastor when we lived in the Bay Area, and they're amazing, wonderful people. And when we lived there, we partnered with them. It just came up. It was a thing we felt directed of the Lord to have these praise and worship nights at our house, because we lived, just because of Bill's job down there and where they put us, we lived in a really pretty place by the ocean. It was just like, you want to share it with everybody because it was really beautiful. And it was a word of mouth, periodic, every whatever, once a month, Friday, come out, we're going to do praise and worship. And that gal, the pastor's wife, is amazing, pianist, singer, beautiful, you know, can lead worship great. And it was really cool because you never knew who would come. There was no program. There was nothing at a bulletin. There was no, and a lot of people would come, and it would be different all the time. And what happened again periodically because of that bore a lot of fruit. Another thing, men can be hospitable. This is not just a women thing. I think I married my husband because he's very hospitable. He was hospitable to me. He's still hospitable to me and lots of people. And you never know when these things are going to work. But when Sally, our youngest, was three, they started making scones every Sunday morning out of the box mix. Then when Sally got older, it became, you know, more elaborate, like from scratch. But years we had to carry that Fisher scone box everywhere to make sure we always had enough. Every Sunday they showed hospitality to our family because we were all out of the kitchen. It was special. It was them doing it. And they still, she's 23. If we're on a boat, if we're in a dorm room, they will do it if it's a Sunday because it's a thing. So I think, again, the fruit out of anything that is periodic and becomes a habit is huge because there's just more power to it, right? It has weight because you do it every Sunday or every month or every week. Another one is my Aunt Doris McMullen. When she was an amazing, vibrant Christian, and she would have our extended family every Christmas Eve for pizza from a tavern, which was kind of edgy. We thought that was kind of cool. And you had a crazy gift exchange. We had spare people come that didn't have a place to go. And we had the Christmas story by candlelight, and we looked forward to that because it was every Christmas Eve, and what happened in her home was so warm and amazing because of who she was, and it was periodic. The last one on that is, and again, you don't know how these things start, but two of our kids went to a Bible school for a gap year, and somehow we got connected with that staff still, because it's been years. But when they bring their kids to Seattle for a week of training, we always have, and it just happened, that's why I'm thinking about it. We have them to our house for dinner. We look forward to it. It's only once a year. It's not every month. It's not every week. It's one time a year. About 30 kids come, and we serve them dinner, and then we cram them into our house. We don't have a big house, and we want to know, what have you learned? What's God been doing? And I'm not kidding. It is mind-blowing what these kids who have been studying the Bible solid come up with, and it's the most encouraging thing. But it's a periodic thing again. Okay, and the fifth one is prepared. And this is, interestingly, what Sarah was talking about earlier, I think in her first time she talked. In Revelations 19, 5 to 10, it says, and I don't read this often, and I've read it over and over, it's very powerful. It says, "And from the throne came a voice saying, 'Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great.' Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, 'Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, 'Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true words of God.' Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, 'You must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God.'" So could it be, and this, a lot of these thoughts come from talking with one of my daughters, and she said, "Mom, this is the linchpin of hospitality right here. We're preparing for when we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, where Jesus is the host." And there's something mysterious, I think, about if he's commanding us to do that now and we're supposed to be following in his steps, could it be that as we follow his example here of investing in family, fellow followers, and strangers, that we are part of the already but not yet? That somehow, because God is outside of time, that every time we practice generous-hearted hospitality and take people in around our tables, we are experiencing that fellowship with our Lord that will ultimately be fulfilled at the marriage supper. It sort of gives me chills. Christ tells us that his commands are not burdensome, that they bring life and they give us a future and a hope. So tonight I really wanted to ask the Spirit to show us just one more step we can each take, because you guys are all, a lot of you have been in your homes, you're like rock stars in hospitality. Like, I have nothing new to tell you except just to keep practicing it. And what's the next step that you could take, either in the area of your own family? I think one thing I was thinking a lot about, sometimes a husband is really big on it and a wife isn't, or a wife is and a husband isn't. And somehow that gradual learning how to work that out, like as a wife, if your husband just doesn't want to have people over, you might have to do stuff on your own a little bit, or just meeting other women, or doing it gradually so it's not offensive within your own spirit of your own home. Those three couples were all massively united and helpful to each other, and just really cool to watch how they were masters. They'd done it for years. They knew how to. They were practiced. They were really practiced at knowing how to do it together. And that would be the ideal, but that isn't always the situation everybody's in. So I think it's just taking one more little step in some way. Mother Teresa again says this: "There is always the danger that we may just do the work for the sake of the work. This is where the respect and the love and the devotion come in, that we do it to God, to Christ, and that's why we try to do it as beautifully as possible." Because hospitality really is earthy, and it's unpredictable. And it's the heart of our homes and our lives. At the heart of it, it's taking care of loving people, which is our husbands and our children and the saints and strangers. It's very mysterious. It can be very beautiful, but it's messy. But just be encouraged not to give up meeting together, and knowing that your obedience in this is having impact, and you maybe won't see it or know it, but I just want to pray with us here at the end after this final quote, just that the Lord would direct now our conversation, because a lot of this is us talking together and helping each other out with things we've done or things we've seen people do or things we'd like to try. I have a lot of ideas of things I'd like to try just because it would be fun to try it. But Wendell Berry, who's a favorite author of probably a lot of you here, says this: as I have read the Gospels over the years, the belief has grown in me that Christ did not come to found an organized religion, but came instead to found an unorganized one. He seems to have come to carry religion out of the temples into the fields and sheep pastures, onto the roadsides and the banks of the rivers, into the houses of sinners and publicans, into the town and the wilderness, toward the membership of all that is here. Well, you could read and see what you think. Let's pray. Lord, as I'm just so privileged and thrilled to be able to just chat with my sisters here in Christ about such a topic close to your heart, Lord, that you tell us to practice hospitality. You tell us to do it pleasantly without complaining. You tell us to invite in strangers and to show it to our husbands, our children, and our families. You are the author of creativity. You are the author of life. All the ideas, all the inspiration, everything we need is from you, Lord. So I just pray that tonight, as we talk now and as we close this evening out, that you would inspire us, because only your Spirit can inspire us to go another step and to open our homes and to bring people in and to treat the people that we have in our homes with hospitality. Lord, show us the importance of it. Show us that it's at the heart of your heart, and that you offered it to us yourself with Jesus Christ when you sent him to us, and it was radical. So Lord, help us to not be afraid to, and not be afraid to be courageous, and just see what you're going to do with it. And so we offer that all to you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.